Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be talking about self-discovery, so please feel free to participate or just to listen. And with that said, let me say hello to my co-host, Kat Edwards. Kat, how are you today? Don't tell me we're having a problem again. Kat, are you muted by any chance? If not, would you call back? There seems to be some problem with the switch over to the studio. And I cannot hear you, Kat. All right, well, let's hang out for a minute while Kat calls back in. And I invite you all to check out our Facebook fan page, which is located at The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. And on it, we invite you to click like. We invite you to list your comments about the show. We especially would enjoy receiving potential topics from you that we could discuss in future shows. We find it very fruitful to obtain input from our listeners. And so please check that out. I also want to let you know that I do another show called Different Strokes for Different Folks, and that's held Friday night at 7:30 on Eastern Time, on Blog Talk Radio. And this week we're going to have a wonderful healer on, and her name is Bhavana Chawla. And I hope that you try tuning in for that. I'm sure you will enjoy meeting her and talking with her. She's a very gifted healer. And the cat is back, so let me ask you, Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm great, thank you. Can you hear me?
I can. That's so weird.
Oh.
I mean, this has happened to us several times.
Yeah, that
times.
Was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah. I had not touched my phone at all, and I'm not sure why that happened. But I'm just trying to load Facebook, and it's not loading. And you said that you had tried to load Facebook earlier, and it wasn't loading your end. So
right, right. Yeah, that's been all day,
because
actually.
Because Facebook's down.
Yep. I did let people know about the Facebook fan page while we were waiting for you to tune back in. And also I talked about my Friday night show, so covered those bases. And Bhavana Chawla, who's called in on this show a couple of times, is going to be on the Friday night show this week, so I'm looking forward to that. She's a very gifted healer. So.
Yes. I like her.
Yeah, I do too. I like her very much. I actually did a healing with her, and it was very helpful. She's just such a bubbly person. I enjoy that kind of vivaciousness and enthusiasm that's missing in so many people, and so it's refreshing.
Isn't
well,
she in Hawaii?
She is, yes, as a matter of fact. Yeah. I guess it's probably about halfway between you and me, thereabouts.
Yes, I've been to Hawaii. It's, when you're flying from Australia to Los Angeles, it's a stop. People often stop there, stop overnight.
I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you actually spent the night there?
I think we were in transit there when I was a kid, it was the first time I'd seen human beings that were much larger and much more bizarre looking than I'd ever seen before, meaning like massive bodybuilder guys, like huge men in mountains. And it's like Bahrain, Ajupos. It's a place where all humanity converges and then goes off into another place. At least the airport must be, because there was just people from all over the world. And as a 12-year-old kid, I was just amazed at what these humans were, because they weren't the sort of people that I'd seen around Redcliffe and Brisbane, you know, in little Australia. And
right.
Certainly were
right.
not. Mm.
Right.
Yeah,
I
so I have a deep respect for the Polynesian people. Go on, sorry.
No, that's all right. I needed to interject because I'm having a little situation. I was just put on vitamin B12, and it's having some adverse effects on my digestive system. So I'm going to need to kick things off today. Yeah, it's just one of those rudimentary things, so to speak. So I shall join you in a few minutes.
Okay. All right. So
all right.
Like I've got
I'll let
support.
You kick things off.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Well, David's off, and he will be back with us very soon. So it looks like you've got me. Isn't that exciting? I don't have a Friday night show to talk about, but I will go on with the topic, self-discovery. And I wonder if that's something that you think is, you know, obvious, if it's an obvious thing. Oh, what are you talking about self-discovery for? As if we don't already discover ourselves. Well, the thing about self-discovery is you can't really go through something like that unless you feel safe. Unless you feel like your needs are met and you can actualize. That's part of the self-discovery place, is that you're not in absolute fight, flight or freeze all the time. Because then you can begin to grow. So often the self-discovery journey is related to the hero's journey. And if you've been an adept of the spiritual path, and indeed if you have been an adept of any kind of psychotherapy, counseling style path, you should have learned about the hero's journey by now. So it's a travel or a pilgrimage to a place, and that brings redemption in some way, shape or form. And it helps you to find out what you're capable of, things that you didn't realize you could do, suddenly you can, and it's all because you find it from within. So I'll just read what Wikipedia says about self-discovery. It's a journey of self-discovery. Refers to a travel, pilgrimage, or series of events whereby a person attempts to determine how they feel personally about spiritual issues or priorities, rather than following the opinions of family, friends, neighborhood, or peer pressure. So you're really learning about who you are and what you want over what others think you should do. And often you will find that what others think you should do is based on what they've been told themselves that they should do, and nobody's actually looked within about who they are and what their inner self says to do. It's always an external factor. The hero's journey is a common template for stories. So you'll find the hero's journey is in movies and never-ending story. That's a really good example of the hero's journey. So I'll just bring up a graphic so that I can give you it exactly. So the hero is just an ordinary person in the ordinary world. Then they get a call to adventure. And then they refuse the call. So they're going to say, no, not me, I'm not worthy. Or, bye, Chucky, I'm not doing this. No. Then they meet their mentor, somebody who helps them to believe in themselves. And they cross the threshold into the journey. Then they get tests. They find allies and enemies. And then they have to go into their innermost cave. They go through an ordeal, and then they're rewarded. And they're on their road back. They're resurrected, and they return with the elixir, whatever that may be. So that's the hero's journey, and in that journey is also the journey of self-discovery. So when we look at the pathway of self-discovery, just see if somebody's written that one out too. Doesn't look, I've just got a heap of quotes here. But
I have a definition of
also,
self-discovery, if that's helpful. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're right. I was just comparing self-discovery to the hero's journey.
Beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Go on.
Well, I'm sorry to talk over you. That's the problem with doing radio over the telephone like this. There is a definition of self-discovery that seems to be quite apt, and that is the act or process of gaining knowledge or understanding of your abilities, character, and feelings.
Yeah. So it's going through a period of starting to understand who you are, isn't it really, David?
Yeah, it is. And that's a journey for all of us. And people that really want to know themselves will do the work, but it is hard work. And it takes a lot of commitment. It takes reaching out to other people because we quite often can't see those things within ourselves that others do see. It's like that Johari window that they talk about, and I forget, but there's four parts to it. And one of them is the parts that we see about ourselves, and then there's the part of what we don't see about ourselves, and so on and so forth. But it is a hero's journey because it takes a lot of strength and a lot of commitment and time. You know, you have to schedule the time to do it and to deeply think and reflect about yourself. I think it's very important to be gentle about the process. It is a process, and so it's important to show compassion for yourself, and it can be painful. So you have to allow yourself to heal from some of those things that you uncover that aren't so pleasant, because we all have light and dark sides to ourselves. And as we come more into the light, we can let go of those aspects of self that have not served us well or that we do not really like to deal with. It's good to do self-talk. It's good to write these things down. It takes a lot of work to work on overcoming those flaws. And also it requires acceptance because we cannot change everything. I mean, it is a process and a journey, and it's a lifelong journey, and that journey never ends. That process never ends. So those are just a few things I wanted to say.
Yeah, and I agree. It is a lifelong journey, and it is a process that never ends. But the thing is that I find anyway with self-discovery that at some point you've discovered so much and you've had your revelations and your epiphanies, and then you've gotten into a rhythm with it, and then you get into a groove, and then you get into a rut. And if you don't constantly be dynamic about learning about who you are, this is the pathway to it. You will just end up, you get too comfortable. You can't get too comfortable. That's the thing. To discover who you are all the time, you have to be curious and in a permanent state of wonderment, because who you are is consciousness, and consciousness is limitless. So there's limitless aspects to who you are. So isn't finding out all of these different aspects to who you are really exciting? And all it takes is for you to turn around and say, well, today I'm going to try something new, and I'm going to see if I'm good at it, and if I am, I'll persist. If I'm not, then I had a good go. And there'll be something in it that I can learn from, and then that will help me to grow. And that's all part of the discovery process. So I don't think it has to be arduous. I think it can be fun. But it has to be, it has to be stuff that you're interested in as well. Like, journey of self-discovery can't just be hardcore sessions with the psychologist or the counselor and lots of crying. That can't be the only way. There's got to be other ways. I mean, when I look at my life over the last sort of 6 years and how much I've grown out of where I was into where I am, all of that incrementally was a journey of self-discovery, even though each day I wasn't necessarily aware that I was discovering myself. But I was coming out of a place of a long night, and I was starting to see the dawn, and now I'm maybe in the morning. So there's a lot more to come. But it's that one step after another that allows it all to unfold. Yeah.
I like what you said about consciousness.
It's interesting.
Yeah, because we've talked so many times about the importance of being present. And unless you are present to what's going on around you and within you, you miss so much. And, when you consider your potential and also are conscious of your motives and what motivates you, then you can eventually come to understand and ultimately figure out your life's purpose.
Yeah.
Kat, I'm going to take it again. I've got a call from my doctor's office coming in.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it looks like it's just me again. So something's happened with Facebook, and it looks like it no longer exists on the internet. So isn't that interesting? I wonder what's going on. So that's a journey of self-discovery as well, isn't it? So we didn't get last week, and you probably noticed that I don't sound real flash today. And that's because I've been going through a whole lot of issues myself. And one of them, of course, is that I lost a dear friend of mine a week and a half ago and 2 weeks ago. And that really knocked me. And that was one of the reasons that we didn't broadcast last week. So I apologize to anybody who was wanting to tune in last week and you didn't. I do apologize for that. You didn't get in. That's just one of those things. I've been quite unwell and then I sort of got this massive hit as well. So in the journey of self-discovery, when we look at, if we go back to the hero's journey, because it is, I think, really an important parallel to self-discovery, because you, when you're in the ordinary world, everything is just mundane, following through, everything's happening as normal, and it's just regular. When the call to adventure happens, there's a challenge. And this can be anything. So, for example, taking up a new sport, taking up a new hobby, painting, writing, there's something new that's happening. And it's being taken up, and that's what the call to adventure is. Refusal of the call is the fear that comes out, and it's normal that immediately all our fears will come up. So in that pathway of discovery, when you begin to have your fears, you just have to be realistic about those fears, because some of them are just not going to come to pass, and that's because they're not realistic, but they are big fears. So what I often say to people is, if you've got a lot of fears, unpack them. And how you unpack them is that you write the fear down. You need to physically write it down. And you need to have what the fear is and what the feared outcomes are. For example, I could fear going to the hairdresser. The feared outcome would be that I get a bad haircut. And then from there, I would struggle with being comfortable about my appearance. Now, I then would match that to the facts. The hairdresser is very good. She's never cut my hair badly before. I've always had good, healthy hair all the way up until the next cut. So I start to smash away the fear that the haircut's going to be bad, because I have realistic measure against these fears that then neutralize it. So when we have the call to adventure, we need to be in that place. Are you back, David?
I am. Thank you very much for bearing with me. Bodies can be a nuisance, and I just discovered some things about mine, that some explanations of which have been very helpful to me. So that's helped me overcome fear.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had discussions in the past, different shows talking about fear, and you can find them in the archives. We've gone into fear quite extensively in the past, but the thing is that at some point you've got to say, and especially in today's totalitarian regime world, you cannot allow fear to dictate your life. Because you just buy into the things that are going on that are unhealthy, and the mindsets that are not equipping us with moving forward. They're equipping us with being controlled. So fear is not the answer. Love is the answer. So when you get that refusal to the call, you have to go into love, and that's what this unpacking is. You start to go into love again, start to go into everything's going to be all right. and you start having a perception of the world and of your life as being something that you can deal with, and you fall back on a foundational sense of inner safety because you understand that you are capable and that you are clever and that you can see the pathway through. So you actually have to believe in yourself. That's powerful.
Well, I needed to hear that
today. In this journey. Did you?
Yes, I did. I'm dealing with a good deal of fear on something, so thank you for sharing that.
That's all right.
Yeah.
It's all part of it, isn't it?
It is. It's part of the self-discovery process, too. And it requires that awareness that something's a little bit out of sync, because it's easy to slip into that state and not even be aware of it until it starts to overwhelm you, and then you can say, oh my, here I've gone. And I loved what you said about love being the answer, because that is the opposite of fear.
Yeah. Now, I got in the car with somebody the other day, and she was talking about Brisbane going into another lockdown very soon, and she was in a heightened state around it because they'd found 4 cases of COVID, and that was it. We're going to go into lockdown. And I said, yeah, well, you know, we could be going into lockdown, but I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to live in love. I'm not going to let other people create fear in my body. I'm just going to love my life and be in the present, be in the moment. And that's all you can do. Because you can't,
right.
You can only control yourself. And you're either going to let other people control you or you take control. So you've got this incredible power called turning off the television. Don't let other people tell you what to do. I mean, I'm sure that most of your listeners are very well aware of the authoritarian regime that's been coming into Australia. And there's pushback. It certainly is. And, a lot of people are not happy, but the answer is not to go into fear. The answer is to go into love and heads are beginning to fall. So we started seeing that within New South Wales government. We've had the Premier, the Deputy Premier, and one of the ministers have all resigned over corruption charges. So we're going to see more and more heads fall because love will prevail. And love isn't necessarily the romance or holding a puppy. Love is the power and strength of truth. Don't you agree?
I do. Absolutely. Love has so many different meanings, and that would be another good show to have. We've talked about self-love, but there are so many forms of love. I don't know if you want to do a show on that down the line.
Yeah, I'd love to. And I remember in French class, I think the teacher told us there was 50 different ways to say love in French.
Wow. Wow. Doesn't surprise me.
I've looked for it on the net and I haven't been able to find the list of French words for love. But if someone's listening and they know them, please email them to me. It doesn't look like we can Facebook anymore. Facebook's down.
Facebook's down. The only word I know in French for love is amour. But it's interesting when you were talking about letting other people take you in directions you don't want to go. I was looking at something that I Googled, and that was uncomfortable signs you're actually discovering your true self. And one of them is that you've let unhealthy people or relationships drift or control your thinking and feeling uneasy in certain social situations, or your passions have changed. These are all things that are uncomfortable, but they also are wonderful because they're signs that you are discovering who you truly are and getting in touch.
Yeah. And who are you truly, David?
Is that a question for me?
The ultimate question. Yeah, well, not necessarily for you.
It is. Didn't we do a show called
The
Ultimate Question?
Yeah, we might have. We've done a lot of shows.
Yeah. It's a good one, and it can be applied in so many different ways, because what may be the ultimate question today may not be the ultimate question for tomorrow. Life is just so rich and full of questions, and I'm getting sidetracked because there was a point I was trying to make, and I've totally lost it.
No, oh, that's all right.
I think
part of knowing who you are is knowing your body as well. Like, obviously, you're going through something with your body just now, but you're in this body and you're in it for life. And shouldn't you love it? Shouldn't you accept it? Shouldn't you go with it? No, like it's your vehicle for life. If your body likes to get moving, then you should get moving. If you like hiking and being outdoors, then that's what you need to be doing. It's not an in, you know, just ignore the body thing. When you're in the body, be in the body. Be, that's part of who you are. So it's a balance between understanding what your body needs and wants, for it to function as a healthy organism, and overtaking what the body needs and wants with the desires of the ego, which we've discussed. My opinion of ego in the past, that it's the infant self. A friend of mine said it was the id, but it's certainly the aspect of the self that is hungry and needs security, like a baby.
Right.
So, but when my body needs nature, my body absolutely needs to be in nature. And on Sunday, I took the kids to a really sleepy little bayside village called Pincan Bay. And they've got a park and a bay. The bay is really, really shallow, and it has mudflats and little crabs that come out. And the kids can run on the mudflats. It's safe. And then when the tide comes in, the water's really, really shallow, so it's safe for them to swim in as well. And it's a great place if you've got little children, but it's a place that, thankfully, not a whole lot of people know about because it hasn't been trashed. But I love it. I love going to Tintan Bay, and even when the kids are older, I'll probably go there because there's just something magical about it. But I feel reinvigorated because I got back into nature this weekend. We had a long weekend here in Queensland, so I'm just going back to work today. But that's part of knowing myself, and that's a response to self-discovery. Do you do anything to respond to your self-discovery, like things that you know about yourself that you need to keep doing? Because I don't know if self-discovery is just the precipice of the leading edge of discovery, or if it's also maintenance of self that you've already discovered.
Well, there are a number of things. I mean, nature is a big one for me, too. Aside from the delight that it provides to my body, it is a very centering thing for me spiritually, and it's emotionally nurturing. Excuse me. Music is so important to me, and I mean, life itself is a symphony. When you think about music, or life is a metaphor for music. I make music as Kat does too. I sing and I play the piano, and that is so nurturing. It expands my soul. It helps me to focus and stay in the moment and to let go. And those are things that are very important to me too. So those are just a couple of things that come to mind, aside from doing things like exercise, which is so important for the body. But exercise, yoga, meditation, these are all things that are very centering too. I don't know, when I was gone, if you talked about the notion that self-discovery points us in the direction of being true to yourself. That was one thing that came up for me when I was Googling self-discovery. You know, of course, there's that old expression, to thine own self be true. And, you know, it's a way that you can follow your own value system and exercise common sense, and you can listen to the advice of others, but ultimately make up your own mind. And that comes back to something you were saying when you were talking about overcoming fear, and that is to trust yourself and to recognize that you have that capability of rising above your own fears and figuring things out, so to speak. And so it's important to stand up for what you believe in. And when you do that, you gain self-respect and you gain respect from other people too. So those are some tips on being true to yourself that I Googled.
They're beautiful. So being true to yourself begins where your comfort zone ends. It's a quote I've just read here by Adam Braun. And where your comfort zone ends is where you really have to step out, and you do find out who you are, because you find out what you're capable of. And sometimes it's like, oh, I don't want to have to do this. And sometimes you're just thrown into it and you've got to do it.
There you go. Yeah, that's right.
Sink
or swim, you know?
Yeah, this is a bit like ain't life grand sometimes, like that.
Yeah.
I know.
That's true.
I've been through so many challenges
and
had to get out of my comfort zone so many times, and yet I still find myself balking at picking up the telephone to ring somebody, or, I can't be bothered, or, make excuses. And then I look back and go, well, you were doing it before. You could do these things, and you've done them before, so you know you could do it again. So, getting out of that comfort zone is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's like we want to get back into the comfort zone, but then we can't stay there too long.
No.
We've got to find something else. Yeah.
Well, life always throws things at us that take us out of our comfort zone, and then we have to find our way back into it again. And that can be uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then you think, it would just be good if everything would just calm down and I could just sort of coast along. And then you see people that do coast along and nothing happens. And then you're like, well,
yeah.
I'm boring.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's not you or me, at least not most of the time, is it me? And I trust that's the same for you.
Yeah. Well, here's another quote. I understood myself only after I destroyed myself, and only in the process of fixing myself did I know who I really was.
Mm. I like that.
Yeah. So that's, you know, we all go through hardship. And we all go through struggle. And it's coming out the other end, how you are, that really makes a big difference. How you've chosen to deal with it.
When we come through those things, we come out stronger.
Yeah, well, that's it. We become happier people, too, even though we've been through something that might have been rigorous and arduous. We actually have more capability. We're stronger for it. And then that sense of, well, it gives you a sense of self. And then that sense actually helps other people to feel safer because you feel more grounded in you, who you are. So you're then helping other people to feel safe in, about their lives and about who they are. So
that's really important.
It's a ripple effect. I mean, you know,
exactly.
I remember being a kid and being around somebody who was a grown up and who was very capable. It made you feel safe, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It did. And
yeah.
I was just thinking of the notion that you, when you lead by example, you do tend to inspire other people, and they will take a look at you and say something like, well, how did you do this, or how did you overcome that? And that gives them some inspiration and confidence that they might be able to do it for themselves too.
Yeah, well, that's right. And you, sorry, but you're, excuse me, it is 6:42. I did have to get up at 5 so I could do this show.
Yeah.
So I apologize anyone if I still find sleeping, my brain isn't quite working.
It's working great.
I should go on a journey of self-discovery to find how much better my brain will be. I think part of also being in self-discovery is finding out how you interact with others and how to do that better and how you work well with nature, how nature works with you. Because, you know, like I have I don't know how I managed to do it, but I do it well, aquatic gardening. I don't really know what my trick is, but I'm doing very well at aquatic gardening. And that's part of my self-discovery, is that how I interact with others, no matter which body they occupy, I can do that well, or I can improve. And you can learn a lot about yourself through your interactions and what ticks you off and what fulfills you and what you need to make work and what you need to let go. I think that's all part of it, John.
Well, the other thing that I was thinking as you were talking is something that one of my guests always points out, and that is every single moment that comes along, every single challenge, every life event, every decision we make is a learning opportunity.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And if we learn the lesson, we can move on. And if we don't, it will come back to us again. And that's not to say that it won't come back anyway.
Yeah.
You know, there's always room for fine-tuning, right?
Yeah, well, I'm already a cat diamond. Leave me be.
Yeah, right. Come on. I've got it. I don't need it again.
Yeah, but every time it comes around, you get stronger and stronger and smarter and wiser.
Right.
And eventually you get to a point where you don't need to feel like you have it. It isn't necessary for you anymore to stress. It seems like you can just bounce through it, I think. And that's because you've gone into love again. So the lesson comes as a hero's journey. Yeah. It's a funny old thing, the hero's journey.
I think that it was Joseph Campbell that used to talk about the hero's journey. I so admired that man and some of his books. I read one of them, and I don't remember which one that was, but are you familiar with him, by any chance? He wrote a book called The Power of Myth. That's one that
I am familiar in as much as I've seen other people talk about it, but I have not had the time to dive into his works yet. And I've got several books I've got to read. So I think I need a second brain so that I can read big books.
Yeah.
You become a double-headed woman.
Yeah. A second brain or a second life, you know, a parallel life that you can draw from. In one of my lifetimes, I read avidly, and now I hardly ever read, and I don't beat myself up over that because I'm involved in so many other things, but there certainly is a lot of wisdom that can be gleaned from the teachings of others. And so I'm sure I'll get back to that again. But I'm looking at the time. We're running toward the end of the hour, and I don't remember whose turn it is to do meditation today. Do you?
No, I'll do it. I'm happy to do it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So, is there anything else you wanted to say on self-discovery?
No.
I would like to end promptly at the end of the hour. I've got to be somewhere myself, and I know you do too.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go into meditation.
Sounds good.
Okay. So we'll get all the listeners to put your hands on your lap facing the ceiling and put your feet flat on the floor. And just breathe in. Nice and slow. And think about the sun above you. Think about the beautiful light from the sun. A bright sunny day. Not too hot. Nice cool breeze. Very comfortable. The rays of light. You can feel the warmth of them. And they're on your head and your shoulders, and it feels good. There's a nourishment that's going on in your body because of the light. The light nourishes you. And as the light penetrates into your skin, it goes in the deeper, deeper, deeper parts of your being that are not physical, parts of your being that are energetic and spiritual. And the physical part of you, your body, is filled with light. As each electron gets awakened from the sunlight, it awakens another, and there's a cascade effect of electrons all awakening within your body, and you begin to feel very energized but very peaceful at the same time as the energy goes through all the way into your feet, and all just alivens you now with sunlight, all internaling, all the light inside your body is lit up. You're shining, you're amazing. That deep inside, that deep internal part of you, it's shining too. And it's shining because it meets the sun. And it meets the macrocosm to it, the microcosm. You, your internal self, is a sun. It's a star in the night. It's consciousness. It is awake. It is a dreaming. It is both. Deeply, deeply true and aware and loving. And it feels warm. See if a message comes. Keep your eyes closed and focused on that. And now come back, be aware that your body is light, be aware that your inner spirit is consciousness, be aware that there are electrons in everything and light is everywhere, be aware that there is goodness all around you, that all things that support your life are good. Chairs, tables, floors, walls, sinks, taps. No matter what's going on in your life, the basic good is with you always. It's inside of you. It's outside of you. You choose to become more and more aware of who you are through your involvement with the basic good. When you're ready, open your eyes. You're there, David? Did you go to sleep?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I must have had it muted. At any rate, I was saying that's another beautiful meditation, and I thank you for that.
That's all right.
Well, I wish you a good day, and all of you a good day, good evening, no matter where you're at. And please join us again next week. And if it's okay with you, Kat, let's tackle the topic of love. I don't know if we'll be able to cover that in one show, but we can do our best.
Let's do that.
All righty. Well, take care, everybody. And again, please look for us on our Facebook fan page.
if Facebook
have
is worse
one,
next
Kat.
Week.
Yeah,
okay,
right, exactly. Okay. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.